News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, saving the world one sound bite at a time, I like to say. Listen, we're going to bring on a friend of mine right now. Jeff Poor is the talk show host. I got one of the talk show hosts down at FM Talk 106.5 on the coastal regions of our state. He's also a political editor for Breitbart and for most recently for 1819 News right here in Alabama. So without further ado, welcome aboard, Jeff Poor.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Well, you sound very smooth today. That was very smooth. Hey, Phil, how are you? That was almost like a sexy intro right there.
whoa.
Okay, all right. We're not having that conversation here, no. Hey, Jeff, I introed right before you came on the air with me the fact that I'm doing a section of the show here. I'm just calling it Here on the Home Front, and one of the things on the home front is this gambling bill. And story off of 1819 that I hold in my hot hands is saying that my buddy Greg Allbritton, Senator Allbritton, is prepared to introduce three gaming bills this week. Now I'm hearing it doesn't have the votes. What are you hearing about this, and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think there is any interest in this. This is just not the timing for it. But as you know, Senator Allbritton represents the Poarch Creek Indians. I think this is something he just has to do to please his constituents. You know, it's a big economic factor in that district, and I wouldn't have expected any less.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't either. The interesting thing that I think we're seeing with him, though, not with him per se, but he's the one talking about it, is he's been talking about bringing, you know, this is a constitutional amendment. To be able to bring the revision to the gaming laws in Alabama, it requires a vote of the people by constitutional amendment. He's been talking about bringing a statutory bill, one that does not require a vote of the people, that would set all the framework in place, and then all we do later on is have a yes-no vote. So it almost feels like he's trying to get in there and get set up with the belief that he can get the rest done if he can just get it set up.
I think that's right. What I think the way he presents it to me is this, that we could still figure out a way to capture revenue from the existing gaming going on, be it these games of skill that aren't technically games of chance, which games of chance obviously forbidden by the Alabama Constitution of 1901. Let's figure out a framework. Let's lay that foundation for when, and he thinks it's inevitable that gaming does make its way onto the ballot and into law.
Well, and the interesting piece of this, though, you say into law. One of the things that bugs me is we do have laws regarding this right now that are just not being enforced. That's one of the kickers for me, is it's so frustrating to watch. Even Governor Ivey herself made the comment last year, gambling exists in the state of Alabama, often illegally. It's hard to control. Therefore, we should just regulate it and tax it, which to me sounds like a complete abdication of leadership. It's like saying, well, prostitution's hard to control, so let's just regulate it and tax it. I mean, what kind of an idea is that? It's hard to control, so let's just regulate it and tax it. I mean, that just smacks to me of weak government.
Well, I remember the bingo wars with Bob Riley.
Yeah.
You know, does Alabama want to do that again? I mean, that seems to be the alternative. Is there a different approach? I don't know. But that seems to be where they're coming from. They don't want to go into that again. They don't want to go into that era again. Therefore, this seems to be the path of least resistance.
Well, it is. But my point, though, is the path of least resistance. I mean, sometimes you're elected to begin working the issues despite the fact that there's resistance. The idea that you're going to go ahead and just go, this is hard. We don't want to do the hard part. Let's just find an easier way to do it. That, to me, just is not why they got elected in the first place.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, what can the governor do? And then wasn't this the conversation when it was Troy King versus Bob Riley? The governor had his own task force.
Right.
And there was a question as to whether or not, you know, this is not in your constitutional purview here. And then, you know, so that was the back and forth. Do we revisit that? Do we think that Steve Marshall ought to be more proactive in this arena? A lot of people say, yeah, but the politics are so complicated.
Well, they are complicated, but then the law is not complicated. Right now, as it exists, the state Supreme Court has already spoken. It's illegal. If you find them doing it, they go to jail. The problem is, they don't want to. It's like, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. And yet, so what we're going to do is see a bill come up last year that would have taken all of the ones who have been literally breaking the law for years, flaunting it in many cases, some of which have not paid their taxes purposely, they're tax dodgers, and we're just going to take their names and embed them and their geographic locations in our state constitution and say, you are now allowed a perpetual government-approved monopoly. Now, that's why is that good?
I think it's bad. It's absolutely bad. I tell you what's interesting to me. I just at the very beginning of the quadrennium, the Attorney General Steve Marshall, he hinted at actually acting on Green Track or Victory Land or some of these other kind of rogue facilities that had opened up at the time in Lowndes County. I thought that was an inevitability, but then we kept getting kind of teased along. Well, we're going to do gambling this year. Then comes 2020, and that's COVID year. Well, then it's put on the back burner. Then they try last year in 2021, and it seemed like that maybe the Attorney General is just kind of standing on the sidelines, waiting on the legislature to do something. And then we get to 2022. Ah, it's that fourth year of a quadrennium. We don't touch this stuff in the fourth year of a quadrennium. The can keeps getting kicked down the road, as so many other things do with the Alabama legislature.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm going from memory here, and I need to check on this before I say it unequivocally, but I also have the recollection that the Attorney General only has limited, he has certainly enforcement authority, but he does not have the troops, if you will, and that the governor has to authorize the use of the state troopers for any raids or enforcement options. And I don't think that that's been given to him, and it hampers his ability to get that done. Do you recall that?
That sounds right. You would know better than I would. I just remember there was, it was very nebulous legally, right? Who had what control over what entity?
Yeah, it's wacky. Well, look, man, let me shift gears on you before we run out of time. So that's here on the home front, and I'll do more of that stuff in a little while, folks, just so you know, is Triple Dipper number 2 here on the home front. We'll cover back on that. But in the meantime, while I've got the political editor extraordinaire on the air with me, so tonight, dude, we got the State of the Union, and I've got another segment I'm going to do here in a minute called the State of the Union, because it's in a weird state or a weird condition. I mean, he's got rebuttals from his own party. He's got crises emerging by the moment. What do you expect to see tonight? What are your thoughts on this?
This is my question for my listeners this morning. Name something good that the Biden administration has done in this first year and couple of months that he's been in office. If you were there at the chamber at the House of Representatives and Joe Biden says this is what we've accomplished, that you would get up and applaud, you know, like they do at these State of the Union addresses. And there wasn't that much. The best, this is kind of sad. The best thing somebody came up with is, He brought a dog back. Well, you now have a first dog again at the White House. That's all I can think of, because everything else just has not worked out for this president, not even politically. It's not like he's got stuff accomplished that we would disagree with. Because
with his own party.
ARPA is it, right? Everything else is failed on Build Back Better, failed on Afghanistan, failed on the border. Everything is going wrong for Joe Biden.
I heard that Jill Biden picked out a nice China pattern for the official state dinners.
I mean, that's where we're at. We're at the minutia level where, well, he's really good at not being Trump, but then you want Trump, right? I mean, this is what you got. Those of you that are listening, you didn't want Trump. Well, you got it. All right. That's what Trump does. That's what not Trump looks like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what happens when people choose, personality over policy. But even then I look at his personality and, I'll be honest with you. I'm gonna do what I can to watch this tonight. But even as a political junkie, it's hard for me to watch him give speeches. Are you gonna watch it tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, it's part of my job, and it's important. But I am going to be surprised if there's something that a moment in that speech, where we can all be excited.
Well, let me ask you this. So let's lay odds. How many times is he gonna claim that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated? What do you think?
I don't know that he will do that now. I think it's clearly that it's not the case. There's a lot they were wrong about, and that may open up a whole new can of worms.
Okay, how many times is he going to whisper in the microphone?
Oh, definitely. That is the over under on that's like 8 or 9, right?
Hey, we just talked about gaming. You can't do over unders. All right. So then, all right, here's the next one. How many times is he going to raise his voice and sound like the angry old man yelling at people to get off his grass?
Do we think he has the energy for that? I am skeptical that this is going to be a very high energy speech at all. I think it's going to be very cringe inducing, and we're going to feel bad for him by the end of it.
Well, I think that's probably true. Well, I guess, you know, and so that's, you know, all punditry aside here, one of the things that is most interesting about this, though, is he's got members of his own party that are doing rebuttals to his State of the Union address. Rashida Tlaib is going to be giving one. Literally, she's going to be giving it sponsored by the Independent Family Workers Party, which is a socialist venture that that boggles my mind. I heard also, but I've not seen any headlines on it, that the Congressional Black Caucus is giving their own rebuttal because they don't feel like enough has been done for African Americans. Have you heard that one?
That doesn't surprise me. That's something that, you know, they had boycotted certain events and stood out of and boycotted, like Stacey Abrams didn't show up when Joe Biden came to Georgia. That one sounds about right to me.
Well, do you recall a time when the president gave his State of the Union, his State of the Union has never been a her, and literally members of his own party provided rebuttal immediately thereafter?
No, and this seems like what Obama, we had like a dozen, well, they were all right of center States of the Union address, right? But no, I can't remember a time. The problem for the Democratic Party, I just think the tent got too big, right? That they you have like all the way over here the socialist and all the way over here Joe Manchin, and that gulf is just way 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 too wide.
Yeah, it's huge. Well, it's gonna be interesting. All right, man. I will do what I can to salve my own emotions and work my way through that State of the Union address, and I'll try to stay in it from beginning to end. How about you?
Yeah, and then you got like another delay until you get to the Republican response, right? So it's going to be a long night. Buckle up, boys and girls.
All right, Jeffro, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on and dissecting some of this with us. But that's my friend Jeff Poor from 106.5, FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, and he also does work now with 1819 News as well as Breitbart. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, man. All right, Copper, run us to a break. We'll take this break right now. We'll come back in a minute, and I will continue on with some things that are literally right here on the home front. Like, not the least of which is, I love this story that also came, by the way, from 1819 News about a company right here in our listening area that is, I want to say, banging out some ammunition. Is that a pun? Yes, it is. But nonetheless, they're literally making ammo at a time when you can't hardly find it in the stores, but you can order it online. All right, I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.